Love those things. You got that one? Okay. Some of you thought I was going to sing, didn't you? Huh? Yeah. That empty a room in a hurry, I tell you. What I do each week is start early on Monday morning. And one of the neat things about moving through a book of the Bible verse by verse like we do. Scott, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Welcome home. Welcome home. All right. I was expecting you, but didn't know today would be that day. All right. Is that you just have to back up and let the Word say what it says. All right? So you don't have to be fancy or crafty or any of those things or twist or turn. The Word speaks. And so we come this morning to John chapter 7, and I'll just let you decide what it's talking about here. Let's start in verse 40, okay? John 7, verse 40. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, and he has finished his teaching, okay? And this is the last day, John called the great day of this feast. And so this is the last of that. Verse 40. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers, probably the temple guard, then came to the chief priest and the Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" They sent the officers to arrest him, but they returned to them, and they don't have Jesus. And they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" And the officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to him, Jesus, before, it's John chapter 3, and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." I'm listening at this time, early Monday morning. What is being said here? What are you, the common thing today is, what do you take away from this, okay? And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, but this is just chaos. This is just confusing. Not the word's not confusing, but what's going on here? Just chaos." Well, what I want us to look at today is making sense out of chaos. Making sense out of chaos. I ran into a problem, though, when I looked up chaos in the dictionary. The definition of chaos in the dictionary is chaos. I read that and I said, "What?" And the best I could get from that was to see the words that mean something like chaos. And those words are disorder, confusion, disarray, lack of understanding. Some scripture, a lot of scripture, in fact, deals with this issue of chaos or confusion. James 4 says, "What causes quarrels and fights among you?" Basically, what it's saying is your passions are at war within you. James 4. Scripture also says that God is not the author of confusion. I noticed also that at creation, the earth was without form and void. Chaos. And God spoke that which is into being out of that chaos. And so, I got to thinking, I thought, you know, chaos is everywhere with us as well. It hasn't stopped. Any chaos in government, you think? Huh? My goodness gracious. At the federal level, chaos. Okay? Every day, the news is filled with the chaos of federal government, local government, state government. It's chaos. What about in the home? Another institution. Any chaos in the homes today? We have some law enforcement folks with us today, but I understand that the number one reason people dial 911 is domestic disputes. Is that close, Steve? Number one reason people call 911 for things other than health issues and that kind of thing, the reason they call the police is domestic disputes. Well, what's that? It's chaos in the home. We have kids who are rebelling, husbands and wives who are fighting, discord, chaos in the homes. How about the church? There have been a good old-fashioned church split. I don't recommend you try that, but churches have some of the worst fights of anybody. And folks, I'm still grieved over the millions and millions of dollars that the Missouri Baptist Convention spent in legal fees over the MBC Windermere deal. I mean, that grieves me. These two groups of people who are supposed to be professing believers going at it to the tune of millions of dollars. And Jeff, correct me here, we didn't contribute to that, right? Okay, so the tithes and offerings that you have contributed here did not go to pay the legal fees of that embarrassing fight at the state level. Chaos in the workplace. Chaos in the schools. Folks, everywhere we go, there's chaos. And there's certainly chaos at the temple this day. The nature of chaos helps here, I think. Chaos causes confusion. But as you might guess, chaos is often caused by confusion. Chaos. It causes discord between people. Often violence and hatred erupt. Chaos is counterproductive to work, to unity, to reaching goals, to accomplishing tasks, to meeting deadlines, to helping people, to bringing glory to God. Chaos interferes with all of that. So what is this? What's causing chaos in the temple this day and in all of those places, those domains we talked about? What's causing chaos? This disorder, this confusion, this disarray, this lack of understanding. Try this on. Chaos results when truth is not known. Or when those individuals involved or groups that are involved don't agree about what is truth. You see, if everybody agrees about what is truth, you don't have any chaos. There's no confusion, there's no disarray, there's no disagreement. Everybody's of one mind. So when truth is not known or when truth is not agreed to by all, when it's challenged, chaos is going to result. I would submit to you today that whatever area, and if you sat here today and told me, there's no chaos in my life, I'm going to have to question that, okay? Regardless of how old you are. Some of you little ones this morning wanted to get up and wear certain clothes today, and your mom said, no, you're not wearing that today, and there's chaos, right? And then you moms that were trying to get those kids ready, okay? It may not have been a slip, I don't know, okay? You assigned everybody to do something and help little brothers and sisters, all that kind of thing. And chaos. And you get here and you're not feeling the best. In fact, you're just ticked off. You're angry. You're whatever. Because the chaos had erupted getting ready or getting to church. Truth. What God says and what God sees is that which does not result in chaos. But there's disagreement or not knowing what truth is. Well, chaos was ruling and reigning on this day in the temple. This day when Jesus had finished teaching, he has just said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He has just taught that, and now the chaos results. I want you to see something here, folks. In all this chaos we read about in verses 40 through 52, who's not speaking? Jesus. I thought, whoa, that's big. I mean, these folks are discussing and fighting and about who Jesus is and who he isn't and where he's from and what the Pharisees said and trying to arrest him and the folks not doing what they told. And all. Who is silent? Jesus. Why? He has already spoken truth. Listen, Jesus did not become embroiled in this chaos. He's there, okay, because it says, when they heard these words, then the chaos erupts. Jesus is still around this situation. He's still in the context of it. He didn't become embroiled in the chaos because he has spoken truth. Now, what's that saying to you and me, okay? In every situation, know what God has said. How do you know that? Open the Word. Read it. Don't go out making stuff up. Well, I think or I believe. What's that worth? What does he say? If you start with truth, and by the way, you don't have to defend truth. Truth will defend itself because God means what he says and he says what he means. And you just have to say, the Word says. Okay? All right. Know what he says. Say it. And then don't get embroiled in the chaos that's probably going to result. All right, what I want us to do here is look at some of these places. There are actually phrases in this passage we've just read. And we'll move quickly through this. Some of these points of chaos and confusion. The first thing we see in verse 40 is, this really is the prophet. That's after Jesus said what he said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now listen, this one you need to take home with you, okay? If you have believed, rivers of living water, we know from last week, we're talking the manifestation, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will flow out of you. It is as natural can be. If those rivers of living water are not flowing out of you, you have not believed. If rivers of living water are flowing out of you, you have believed. That's what God, Jesus has established in this passage. Well, these people respond to this, and some of them in the group said, this really is the prophet. Well, who's he talking about? Again, Jesus doesn't respond. He's not answering this question or anything. He is not speaking in this situation. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, what this person was referencing, no doubt, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses said this, okay, will raise up a prophet like me from among you, to him you shall listen. So Moses has made this statement over in in what we have cataloged as the book of Deuteronomy. And he said, there's going to be a prophet like me that's going to arise. So this person in verses 40 said, this is the guy Moses was talking about. That's who it is. Now, we don't see it. Everybody said, yeah, that's right. No, it just breaks loose then, okay? And we get this chaos that starts dominating this situation. Some said that this is really the prophet Moses, that Moses was talking about. Others, though, said, look on down there, this is the Christ. So we have this one person or group that's saying, this is the prophet Moses was talking about. Others said, this is the Christ. So we have these various factions erupting there. And so chaos has resulted. You see, there's another kind of attached to this contingent that said that one of the Old Testament prophets would be resurrected at some time in the future. And so there's that contingent out there. You see why we have so many denominations today? Huh? Okay. We got three denominations starting right here in this place, don't we? Okay? But some, you know, we also know that the Old Testament talks about Elijah coming, okay? And the Lord said, yes, he did. John the Baptist, you know. And so that this confusion is just running rampant in this place. So they have all these different factions. Nobody knows the truth, though. Nobody knows the truth. Jesus has already spoken what is true. He's not going to get involved in this situation. He's not saying anything. But chaos resulted. Now, when Moses said, a prophet like me, okay, what's he talking about? Does that mean that he is going to be resurrected? What's he talking about? I believe what he's saying here is this, okay? What did Moses do for the covenant people who were in bondage in Egypt? He led them out and led them to. In Egypt for 400 years, they were in bondage to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Moses came, raised up by God, called by God. He went and said to Pharaoh, let my people go. The Lord says, let my people go. And so Moses led them out of bondage to the land of promise, the land of covenant that he had given to Abraham and his descendants. Jesus Christ came and led all people, potentially, out of the bondage to sin to the land of abundant life. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So one like Moses is right there with him. It's Jesus. It's not some resurrected prophet. It's not some other whatever. It's Jesus. And so these people are not connecting those dots at all. They don't get it. He's already told them who he is over and over during these 8 days of this feast. They're not catching it. They're not getting it. The chaos continues. But Moses was talking about the prophet, okay, and the Christ. They're one and the same. They're one and the same, and it's Jesus. But in the chaos, they had pictured a prophet, a resurrected prophet, a political Messiah, all kinds of stuff. So they argued. If you see argument in the home, if you see argument in the business place, if you see argument in the church, you see chaos. And then they get into the deal. Where's he from? Back to that. We were there just a few weeks ago, remember? Is the Christ to come from Galilee? They knew where Jesus was from. You have those three provinces, if you want to call them that. Up at north was Galilee. In the middle was Samaria. And then Judea. Okay? Jerusalem's in Judea. And so they knew that Jesus was up north from Galilee. And so they assume that that's where he's from. Jesus of Nazareth. He's from Galilee. And so they say, is the Christ to come from Galilee? But folks, they didn't know where he's from. They didn't know where he was from. They knew where he lived now, but they didn't know where he started. That's the key. And they're getting pretty close to right there, because they're talking there in verse 42. Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem? Well, yes. And yes, he did. But they didn't know that. You see, you can know some truth, but not all truth. And these folks knew a little bit, but they didn't know truth. That is why we have to spend time in the Word and taking the whole Word and not just cherry-pick certain things out of certain places and say, well, there it says. That's what these folks were doing. And in doing so, they missed it. And so to validate their confusion, they do something that's common among debaters and arguers and those kind of things. They appeal to authority. The Scripture says. Well, that's not a bad place to go. Today we hear it like this. The EPA said, or the NCAA said, or the Southern Baptist Convention said, and that appealing to authority as if that valid research says. I'm so sick and tired of that. Most of the time it's somebody Googled something and pulled it up, and that's what they're quoting. Okay? And that's what these folks are appealing. The authority they're appealing to is good, the Scripture. And it did say that the Christ was going to come from Bethlehem. But they didn't know the full truth that Jesus, in fact, was born in Bethlehem, according to Scripture. All right. Another phrase that caught my attention here, verse 44, was some wanted to arrest him. Some wanted to arrest him. But he didn't get arrested. They had sent the officers, probably the temple guard again, to arrest Jesus. And they came back and they didn't have Jesus. And so they catch it from the Pharisees. They were given a direct order. They didn't do it. Chaos. You see, a lot of times when chaos erupts, there's somebody or some bodies that step in and use force to try to bring it to an end. That's why we call the police, Steve, okay? They come and show up and they're going to restore order, that kind of thing. And so they sent the officers, the temple guard, to arrest Jesus. And a lot of people try to squelch chaos with power, dominant individuals. They're wanting to restore peace. That's what was going on with the folks here. The officers that came back, they said, where is he? We sent you to get him, to arrest him. Where is he? Their response was, no one ever spoke like this man. Now, these are just some pretty, they were probably Jews, okay? But they're not spiritual Jews, okay? These are not disciples. These are not believers. But they got up close to Jesus, and they said, nobody ever spoke like this man. They had ears, didn't they, Kelly? You know of anybody else that said something like that? On the cross. Jesus dies. What did that pagan Roman soldier say? Truly, this was the Son of God. If you ever get close to Jesus and hear him, you know it's him that's speaking. Okay? And the best place to find that is right here. he says what he means here. You don't have to add commentary to it. You don't have to do anything with it. Let him say what he says. And they came back and they said, no man has ever spoken like this man. And so did you see what the Pharisees then answered them? Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? Do you hear that gulp in the background? That was Nicodemus. That was Nicodemus. I mean, they're challenging these folks. That what they're doing is that they're really getting just crude about this. And they're just making fun. They're mocking. You see, we are the authorities. Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? That's a rhetorical question, okay? Well, of course not. But there's Nicodemus, the one who went to Jesus by night, John chapter 3. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, oh, wait a minute. How can you enter your mother's womb and be born again? You know, he's all, apparently, I don't know if he's a believer yet or not, but he is really close. He's going to be, because Nicodemus is going to come with Joseph of Arimathea and get the body of Jesus. Now, unless you're a disciple, you don't do that, especially in the role that he played. He's a big deal. He's a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a big deal. And so the Pharisees, okay, I guess the leaders are saying, have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? And there old Nicodemus is right there in the crowd. Would you have arrested Jesus? Go back 2,000 years. You're one of the officers. You work for the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They sent you to do a job. Would you have arrested Jesus? Don't answer that necessarily right here. I get into all the stuff, the powers that be ordained of God, you know, the boss, that kind of thing. Those are my orders. Would you have arrested Jesus? Is there license for these guys not to arrest Jesus? Is there license for you to say to your employer or whomever it is, I'm sorry? We saw that this week, didn't we? Huh? You follow the Supreme Court decision that came down about Hobby Lobby? Those people are not just working stiffs. The Greens are worth $4.3 billion. Okay? They were going to be forced to do something with their corporation that was opposite to what they knew the Bible taught. God creates life. God creates life, and they would not be a part of taking life that God created. Went all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled in their favor. Okay. Were they to obey the power of the government until their God and His Word conflicted with that, then they had to obey God. I would invite you to take that up as a philosophy of life. Okay? We are not to be marching in the streets, insurrection against the government, all that kind of stuff that goes on. Okay? Because the powers that be are ordained of God. He has established those. But when there is a conflict between what the government says and what the Word of God says and your Lord says, you got to choose your Lord and Savior. It'll probably cost you big time. It had the potential of costing them multiplied millions of dollars. They didn't give a rip. My God said. Okay? These guys didn't arrest Jesus. The reason I'm bringing that up, would I have arrested you? Would I have gone ahead and said, wait a minute, guys. We were told to go over here and do this. And they did. We need some stand-up people today. We need some stand-up people. People who will stand up and stand for what God says and what God says in His Word. Okay? Regardless of what it costs. No one ever spoke like this man. Well, we mentioned that Nicodemus was there. Did Nicodemus just kind of cower back in the background and say, oh, you know? No. He steps up here in verse 50. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before, that's in John 3, went to him by night, and who was one of them, one of the Pharisees, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? See, Sanhedrin had the authority to kill someone. Okay? And so, but there were things that they had to go through in order for that to happen. So Nicodemus challenges the group. Do we have anybody that is willing to challenge the group, costing what it may? Huh? You're there at school, work, wherever, you know, whatever, and there is the whole conversation or whatever is going this way. Do you just step back or do you step up? See what I'm saying? Nicodemus stepped up and he challenged these people. These are the big guys. These are the heavy-duty people, the Sanhedrin. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? And then they replied to him. Notice what they did. Anytime you start being challenged the way Nicodemus was, and when they make fun of you, when they chide you, they said to Nicodemus, are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Totally false what they're saying here. Okay? Because Jesus was the Christ. He lived in Galilee. And they're using this and they're trying to run this power thing through. And we don't hear what Nicodemus says, do we? Well, let's bring this to a close this morning. Let's look at quickly some applications, some things that you can take with you when chaos occurs in your life. Do we have any volunteers? There is no chaos in my life. Anybody? I don't see anybody, okay? I'm pretty safe on that, okay? Here are some applications. We'll close with this. First of all, expect chaos in your life. And the more that you live and proclaim this word, the more chaos you're going to come in contact with. Okay? You're not going to be president of the class or whatever it is when you speak what God's word says, especially today. And if you go very far east or very far west, you're going to run into a lot of chaos if you do. Okay? Expect chaos in a sin-cursed world. Expect it. A sin-cursed world that is totally focused on themselves. In fact, Jesus is going to say, marvel not if the world hates you because it hated me first. If you can't really point to places where you say, you know, I experienced persecution because of who I am in Christ, there's a problem here. I'm not talking about going out and just punching somebody in the nose, say, Jesus told me to do it. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But I'm saying living in a way and speaking to truth when truth is needed, there's going to be conflict because the world hates you. Jesus said so. Second, know what is true, know what the Word says related to the chaotic situation. And when the Spirit gives you utterance, say it. Don't you say, well, no, that's not true. Speak it. And folks, I know there's a lot of young faces out here this morning, and I know that you are not wanting to get embroiled. You want to go along to get along. You want to fit in. But if you know what is true according to God's word, you speak it. You don't have to hit somebody in the face with it, but you need to speak it. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. What do you mean? I'll tell you one that'll get you in big time trouble today, and I've watched it erupt in the last 3 or 4 years. I have never seen a minority with the power that the homosexual community has gained in such a short amount of time. I mean, short amount of time. We're talking about a few years. And they're saying to those who will take a stand, well, you're on the wrong side of history about this, or whatever it is they use today. Be on the wrong side of history, folks. Be on the right side of God, and you'll probably be on the wrong side of history. Has God changed His mind about the home, about marriage? I checked it out this week. He didn't. I went over there and read in the first part of Genesis. A man shall leave his father's mother and cleave to his own wife, and they shall be one flesh. Still says it. Still says it. And I want to tell you what, if the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world, the most prosperous country in the world, and I'm glad to be an American, I thank the Lord for the blessing. But folks, with all of our high-minded power and whatever, we will not be able to take on the God of this universe. He will not change His mind just because the United States of America has changed its mind. Know what the Word of God says and speak it into the situation. Third, know what the Holy Spirit in you is. I said that the way I wanted to, okay? Know who the Holy Spirit in you is. Those rivers of living water. One of the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. Okay? Let Him speak to you and through you. Don't just go off on some tirade because you're a Republican, Democrat, or whatever, okay? What does God say about it? And you will know when God the Holy Spirit is speaking in and through you, and you don't have to do it in a way that just starts a brawl, but you say, I'm sorry. I differ with you on this. The Word of God says, wherever it is, okay, and speak that into the situation. Truth is what God says, what God sees. A person will never see Jesus when chaos rules and reigns. These people, Jesus was right there, and they missed Him. A person will never see Jesus when chaos rules and reigns, and they will see Jesus only when He rules and reigns in and through you. Remember that night on the Sea of Galilee? The winds and the waves, chaos everywhere. Okay, what did He say? Peace be still. Peace be still. In the midst of your chaos, wherever it is, that's a good slogan to walk by. Peace be still. Tell yourself, anyone who will listen, peace be still. Let me leave with this, okay? In the context of that chaos, pause. Pray, prioritize, and then pronounce. Pause, pray. Lord, give me the words to say right now. In this situation, Lord, help me. Pause, pray, prioritize, and pronounce what God says. You're going to live with chaos. It's going to be a part of our lives every day. Will it destroy you? Or will you advance His kingdom even in the midst of chaos? Let's pray. Lord, I marvel at my Lord, the boldness that He possessed during this time at the temple for these 8 days. I marvel, Lord, at His boldness. He walked right into Grand Central Station as far as the Jewish religion is concerned. He spoke truth. Because what He says is truth. And then, Father, the chaos erupted. We don't find Jesus rolling around fighting with the people there. In fact, we don't hear Him say anything at this point. He had already spoken truth. And so, Father, we who follow Him, we who follow Him should not expect anything except chaos in our life because we live in a sin-cursed world. And the world does hate us. So I pray, Father, for brothers and sisters in this room right now. I pray that we'd be bold. I pray we'd be obedient. I pray we'd be faithful to that which You say. Because what You say and what You see when You look at our lives, that's true. I pray we'd be men and women that walk in truth. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You come this morning, if we can.